Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Countdown with contact. 25x5, tell me. I hear you the same. Let's go to mission one. Repeating the announcement on the countdown net. Step 54, 42, all ready. Ready for Crew Dragon and Team X.
Launching. Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome to today's flight. I am here, I am still queer, and I am exceptionally tired today. How do you feel?
We both are pretty dead beat.
Yeah, we are drained, rinsed, burned, exhausted, bitten, all of it.
Oh, so itchy.
But I do feel good. We have been separated from society for a few days, celebrating Camp Jam.
Well, hardly any celebrating took place, but it wasn't for lack of effort or lack of preparation.
Definitely not for lack of effort nor preparation.
We really try to keep you guys on your toes over here in our own world. You know, ASMR episode 1 week and this disaster recap on this one.
No, I don't think it was a disaster. I remember, like, I love the fact that in my life, I feel like the craziest or like moments where I've had the quote unquote worst experiences have actually been the most memorable. Like one time we went skiing and somebody that was with us had an incident on the tubing hill and ran into a Pepsi machine.
Oh my God, no.
No, it was terrible. And in the moment, it was actually quite frightening, but we recall it at least once, twice, or thrice a year. So I'm sure Camp Jam is going to be the same. But yeah, guys, it was a very eventful camping trip. I did not know exactly what I was in for.
No. Well, to kind of give some backstory, you might have heard in one of our more previous episodes that a few years back, we kind of planned to do this similar trip to the very same place, one of my favorite places in the world, Ginny Springs. It's right here in Florida. It's a park, it's a private park that has 7 spring systems that all feed out into the Santa Fe River. And it is a beautiful, wondrous, magical place. But we didn't get to go the first time that we planned it because Em's grandma fell very, very ill. And we just decided that it'd be better to stick around than to go somewhere 5.5 hours away.
Yeah.
So I feel like you had the longest preparation period. Yeah.
I feel like that was mistake one. We had huge expectations and build up. And, you know, I think that there were a lot of lessons on this.
So many.
Yeah, on this little trip. And one of them was no expectations.
So shall we start at the beginning?
I think that's the perfect place to start.
So Camp Jam really came about because I wanted to do something a little bigger this year for my birthday. Last year was kind of a dud for a lot of reasons. And you know us Leos, we really like to do our birthdays big. We feel like we really, I mean, at least personally, I feel like I've earned this year.
Yeah.
I've worked so hard for it that I deserve to party when it finally arrives. And I wanted to go, at first, actually, I wanted to go on a cruise. I don't know if I ever told you that.
Briefly, maybe, yeah. I remember talks about a cruise.
Oh, no, not the summer cruise that we were planning on taking.
For your birthday.
Yeah, for my birthday.
Got it.
Yeah. Originally, I wanted to go on a cruise because, you know, it's a trip, and I knew I wanted to do something that was a couple of days long, and cruises have different rooms at different price points, so I figured it was something that could appeal to multiple kinds of people.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, maybe, you know, some people maybe don't have their passports, or maybe they don't have the funds. What's a trip we could take that's closer,
right,
and that I could help facilitate more of so that people could spend less money?
For sure. And also, you know, assuming that everybody gets closer in those kinds of experiences, it's bonding.
Yeah, I mean, it was an honor. And it actually, I think, was born after recording one of the most recent episodes.
It's true.
Where we mentioned camping, that I really, you know, stuck to the idea.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Ginny Springs came to mind. Why not take the people that you love to one of the places that you love most? And I spent 3 days creating the CampGem2023.com website. No, I will not give you the password.
But trust me, you wish you knew
you
what it was.
You wish you knew what it was.
And if you know, you know.
It's quite the website. And designing the branding and making bonus luggage tags, sending private invitations for the campers, choosing out the counselors.
There was extensive Camp Jam planning, which honestly, I really enjoyed. Like, I know that we're queuing it up like if this disastrous thing happened, but even this morning we were talking about...
I mean, I did almost die.
Yeah. In retrospect, I guess I try to shut out how serious it was because I thought I was going to lose you for a second there.
I mean, I couldn't even say still what exactly it is happened to my body. I just know that I've never in my life felt something like that so far, thus far.
I feel like I told you this when we were there, and I feel like I know from observing you and loving you, like what happened to you, because I know you really well. And even for your birthday post, like, one of the things that I said was, I'm always watching you, not in a creepy way, but in the sense that I feel like I know your essence.
In a loving way.
In a loving way, yeah. And just like you mentioned, we were planning for so long and you had put in so much of your time and your sleep. And, you know, we have to work while all that is happening. And I think that for a multitude of reasons, everything kind of built up to that moment. But it was not fun, and I'm really glad you're here.
Yeah, I know. That was not the highlight of the trip. But anyway, there was a lot of prep that went into it. My favorite part, I bet you can guess, of preparing for Camp Jam was the goodie bags.
Oh, my God. The goodie bags.
Honestly, those goodie bags should go on a Hall of Fame somewhere.
Yeah, and shout out to Five Below.
Shout out to Five Below. Shout out to Dollar Tree. Shout out to my Cricut.
Yes.
Shout out to Sticker Paper.
Yes.
Shout out to Resourcefulness.
Yes. And Creativity.
So we did these little kid-themed backpacks.
Yeah.
And everyone's name was on it.
Or nickname.
My nickname for them, right.
My backpack said Babe.
Yeah. That's what I call you. So I did put everybody's nickname on the backpack. And on the inside, I got those big tumblers with the lid and the straw. I put their name on that too.
Yeah. And there were like three or four different packages inside. Like one was snacks. One was,
so there was a snack
take care
kit,
of yourself. A one care was kit, for fun.
A fun kit.
Yeah.
And a health kit.
And they each had little stickers with the logo and branding for Camp Jam. Still not getting the password to the website. And different, you know, things that you may need wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, so, okay, so let's go through it.
Okay.
we had the care kit.
Yeah.
Which was like a self-care kit, which was inspired by our really great friends, Lex and Kels, by their wedding.
Yeah, shout out.
Shout out to them. They had a joint bachelorette where they took us all to a spa. Mm-hmm. And they had prepared these super cute little spa bags us with these cute little self-care materials. So they really inspired a lot of the goodie bag. And it had some of the same things, like an eye mask, a face mask.
Yeah.
What else did it have, the care kit?
It had...
Oh, the lipstick. The chapstick.
Yeah.
The chapstick that also had branding.
Yes.
Said chapstick.
Yeah, you went hard. You literally, I mean, not that I'm surprised, you know, you brand everything you do, but it was fun. Like, we literally were peeling the stickers off of chapsticks and putting our own. I felt like a little Kylie Jenner up in this bitch.
Oh my God. Not Kylie Jenner, but definitely craft mom.
Yeah.
Or like, I should be a party planner or something.
Martha Stewart? Question mark?
No, I don't know. I feel like Martha Stewart has somebody else peel chapsticks for her. This was you and me up till like 2 a.m.
Peels your chapsticks.
Okay, so wait, that's the care kit. What's the other one?
The health kit.
The health kit was cute. Wait, is that where the chapstick was? Actually, I think the chapstick was in the health kit.
They had a plethora of items.
The health kit had a personal favorite, the mosquito stickers. Oh. Those were cute. I don't think people use those
I was
enough.
About to say, I don't think I saw one mosquito stick.
Bianca, our friend Bianca, she put them one day, probably the last day, I think, on either shoulder.
Yeah, they're like little cute little stickers that are supposed to repel mosquitoes.
I don't know if they work, though. Mm. Oh, my gosh. A personal favorite.
Yeah.
In the health bag, I folded 6 toilet seat covers.
Whose idea was that, though?
The toilet seat covers? Mm-hmm. Was it yours?
It was mine.
It was really good.
Thank you.
The branding
Nobody
on
used
that
those
said,
either.
Sit on this. I know. Wild out there putting their bare booties on those bathrooms.
I mean, so did you, though.
No, I put toilet paper.
Oh.
I didn't use the toilet seat covers any either.
Exactly.
Wow.
Or the stickers.
Ooh. I see where you're going with this. Okay. Moving on. The snack kit. The snack kit was cute.
Yeah.
Basic. It was for the ride. It had a granola bar, animal crackers. What else did it have? It had little gummies in it.
Yeah.
And something. Oh, trail mix.
Trail mix.
Perfect for camping.
That I did see a few times.
Yeah.
The trail mix.
The trail mix did find its round.
Appropriately.
Yeah. The fun kit was fun.
Oh, the fun kit was fun, and we'll leave it at that.
The fun kit had fun things that you will not know about. Yeah. Oh, how could we forget the mini solo cup shot glass with the wristband attached?
Oh my gosh, yeah, Jeff. You know, like those red solo cups, they're like these extra large ones that you mentioned before, like the tumbler. You said tumbler, but that's what it was, like a solo cup tumbler. Mm. And then on top, there were those, you know,
coil
wristbands.
Coil?
Right, but it's boing.
Coil.
But isn't the sound of coil boing?
Could be.
Okay.
Could also be just completely soundless.
Okay, well, a coil, a wristband, and it was attached to a tiny little solo cup with the first letter of your name as well.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah, it was quite cute, if I do say so myself.
It was very cute. Still is.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite part. I'm not even going to lie to you, at least in the preparation part of it. No, I'm sorry. Also, when I discovered inflatable sofas, that was very fun. Did you guys know that Intex, they don't pay me, they didn't sponsor me, nor did they send me this. They sell inflatable couches, which honestly, I feel like that couch is nicer than ours.
I know.
It's not funny. I was talking to somebody about it today.
We should inflate it.
I know.
Like, no.
We paid for it already. So part of the Camp Gem vibe was that I wanted to create kind of a community, little city between us. So Em and I, we design what was kind of like a camping living room.
Yeah.
Which was really the tent that we had bought, this 20 by 10 canopy tent that we had bought for my 25th birthday, remember, when we did the sleepover?
Yeah, because we did camping indoors for your 25th birthday. But
it wasn't camping at all. It was just a sleepover.
It was a sleepover indoors, but for whatever reason, we decided inside our house.
Not whatever reason, a good one. It was meant to mimic a fort.
Which was amazing. But I, like, in retrospect, seeing that canopy on the campground
made more sense.
No, and thinking about that sleepover, I don't think you realize we had 21 people, I think, sleeping inside the 10 by 20 inside of our house with all of the, like, it was closed. Like, it wasn't open.
All the walls.
Yeah, all the walls were down and we somehow fit everybody. It was like one giant mattress.
We had to play Tetris with the air mattresses.
It was amazing.
That's what it was.
It was really fun, though. That was a really fun birthday, too.
Yeah.
But it made more sense in the woods.
I've realized that in my adulthood, I've just given myself the birthdays that I always wanted. Like I served,
when you were a kid.
Yeah, when I was a kid, like I served really bad, great, but really bad food. That birthday, like Kool-Aid and like.
Okay, no, the food at camp time was popping.
No.
You killed the menu.
It could have been better.
No. The campfire chili.
Disappeared on the second day.
We're going to get back to that. But the campfire, you see, like, as we go recounting the experience, there are beautiful things about it and there are wonderful things.
We definitely had some good laughs.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Amber?
Oh.
Amber kills me.
Jem's sister.
My sister must go down.
Is she okay?
No. Oh, no. Neither of us left Camp Gemma unscathed. She has, at this point, an undiagnosed gnarly bite that has grown extensions, practically antenna on its own, and is completely discolored on her foot.
Do I have dengue? I am, Barbosina.
Oh, my God.
I don't know, I'm telling you. And James, Gem's friend James, was afraid of the bug so much that he spent the entire weekend in a hoodie, pants, a long... So... No, no, he it looked wasn't like just it was... a hoodie. He wore a long sleeve and a hoodie, put the hoodie over his head, sweatpants, socks to his knees, and sneakers.
He looked like he was in Colorado in the dead of, like, autumn or
winter.
He
never complained about the heat, though, which literally concerns me.
I wonder if it was pride.
Is he bionic?
Mm,
but
no.
Did you see him sweat?
I didn't see him sweat. No, you're right.
James, are you okay? Anyway, so it was, yes, it was disastrous and you almost died. Sorry about that. But there are amazing times. You said your favorite part. I'll tell you my favorite part. And it was literally, I can't.
It was one of my favorite parts of the preparation
phase. Well, right. My favorite moment of the prep was that we had to print out multiple pictures of Gem because we decided to have this game called Hidden Gems.
The activities.
Yeah. That we printed out about 20-25 pictures of Gem and laminated them.
In all kinds of positions and ages.
Yeah.
All kinds of faces.
And the last day while we were cleaning up camp, that was the prep, but it also ended up being one of my favorite parts of camp, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I know you enjoyed prepping your activities. You spent the entire last day on just the t-shirts.
Which everybody loves.
Baby... We didn't give half the t-shirts to the people.
I did. I don't know what you're talking about. James left in his Camp Gem shirt. Dav burned it over the fire.
That was three.
I know. I spent a little too much time on the activities. But that's why I'm saying I wasn't prepared. I haven't been camping in a long time, okay? Last time I went camping was in the Peace River, and I was a kid. And I guess in retrospect...
Was it anything like this?
I mean, I don't remember. That's what I think that... like. Nothing that bothered me at all was like the actual woods or the camping. That part was amazing. I can live in the woods. I kept saying that. I was walking around barefoot fucking eating spiders. But I think it's more just like the preparation and the dynamic of everybody being used to living in a city or society and then having like very different things to have to deal with. Like, for example, zero service whatsoever.
None.
No GPS, which everybody knows, season one, I am GPS dependent, okay? Mm-hmm. It's just like, I didn't, for example, even just when we arrived and I had to use a restroom, I got lost on the way back from the bathroom.
I was worried about that the whole time, that we were going to lose you. But we didn't, though. Not really.
No, but
Kind of, but not really.
There were moments where I was like, oh shit, like everything looks the same.
Especially at night because there's no lighting.
Exactly.
It's rough.
I mean, it's good though. I had to freaking figure it out. And by the last day.
For you, that's the equivalent of like when parents throw their kids into the pool to learn to swim.
Oh my gosh. Literally, and I had no idea where it was. I was like, well, there's that tree. Oh, look, there's
another
that tree. Oh, wow.
No streets, no land.
And then you know what? I'm sorry, I have to say something. Everybody be getting their tents at Walmart because everybody had the same damn tent. And literally, I'm like, oh, look, there's Chris's tent. God damn it. I would walk into people's camp and be like, hi. Oh, nope, not my people.
How dare you confuse Camp Jam with anything else?
I have a terrible sense of direction. The prep was lit. And then this was the way that the trip was kicked off, which I think kind of set the precedent to what happened to you. But Jem pulled an all-nighter. And when I say all-nighter, like until you got in the van to go to camp, you were awake walking around like a loon.
You know, and it wasn't just that it was an all-nighter. It was an all-nighter in a week when I had already pulled an all-nighter.
I mean, I was there too, babe.
Yes, but also a laborious all-nighter.
Yeah.
Because I didn't stop moving, packing, unpacking.
I know. I slept 2 hours, sorting. But then I have to drive 6 hours.
Yeah.
Which was not fun.
No.
But
I literally didn't sleep a wink until Friday night.
That's crazy.
From Wednesday.
Let's sleep right now.
I know. Just thinking about
I'm
that
tired.
Component.
I'm exhausted.
It was very exhausting because we definitely took on, we bit off way more than we could chew.
Yeah.
Do not sign up to cook 15 people, 3 meals for 3 days.
I mean, shout out to Amber. She said it. Like Amber and I, when we were talking about the menu, she's like, let's just buy canned pesto. Let's just call it a day. PB&J is all day, which in retrospect.
To be fair, the menu did come off of what she inspired.
Well, and by the way, I'll say this again, the food was amazing. Like that's something people will remember. Like, I mean, the things that you made were fucking delicious, but they take hours to cook.
And because of my exhaustion, two of the meals that I had prepped in advance to help me, you know, three of them actually, which was my kale salad, the potato salad that I had never made potato salad before. And it came out so good. And like how many pounds of picadillo for taco night? I left them behind. Because that's the thing is that when you push yourself so hard, even if you're somebody like me, who's like such a type A personality who abuses her body constantly. And this is just me being completely honest with you all. To achieve what my crazy Virgo moon compels me to aspire to, you can't help but lose some things on the way.
Yeah.
We're not robots.
No. You got to listen to your body. I tell you that all the time. I feel like sometimes you always try to cater the best experience for everybody and make it like perfect. I've heard you use the word perfect too many times because it's just not sustainable.
No.
And like, this is just me loving you and being honest with you. I think that that was one of the biggest things. Like your expectations were way too high.
I also, to be fair, I had a lot more. I had some promises.
Oh yeah.
Made to me. Well, and
yeah. Well, that's a whole other component that we learned a lot about.
Yeah.
Friendships.
You know, I am going to go out and say it, but I think it's a generational problem that we, as millennials, as Gen Zers, for some reason, a lot of us have lost complete value and respect for our own word.
Oof, preach.
Back before human beings had contracts, our word was the only thing we had. Mm-hmm. Anybody read The Crucible or even seen the movie? What are you without your name? Your name is all you have. Your word is all you have.
It's just crappy. Like, and you know, like maybe technology has had an impact in that because it's easy to just like send a text and be like, JK, I can't
cancel
make it.
Day of.
But like we literally had probably half the camp confirm RSVP.
And how do you do that? How do you confirm for a trip? That you
a
know
trip that there's food somebody is and taking planning and right. driving and then literally.
Oh, that's another thing. Emily and I facilitated a van because we thought, okay, well, how can we make this even easier for people? Well, they probably won't want to drive the 5.5 hours, but some people might because I do have artist friends who are creatives and I know they're going to want to have nicer setups or maybe they have schedule conflicts or whatever it
Which,
is.
Which, by the way, the people that turned out.
That's true.
You know who you are.
So there was just a lot of planning that relied on people's word.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to bullshit.
Yeah.
A lot of
real
money.
Real tea.
Things that could not be undone, things that I had started working on a month ago.
Yeah. You were working on it for months. You were talking about it for a while. And you also had people during that time, you know, kind of make it seem like they were going to help facilitate what it really took for it to be what it could have been. But in retrospect, you know, I still think that we were just overshooting it all.
For sure.
You know.
I take full responsibility.
Yeah, we were definitely overshooting it all. And in that same breath, I still think that it's one of the most memorable trips of my life.
Well, I mean, that makes me very happy.
In a good and bad way. I promise you I'm going to be talking about this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I think as time passes, it'll just be one of those things that like becomes a trinket on those stories that human beings tell. You know, like, I feel like people have like a Pandora bracelet of stories of their life that kind of make them who they are. And this will definitely be one of mine.
Wow. Love that core memory made.
Yeah. Core memory. That's what it is. But yeah, the millennial thing and the letting down, like it's not acceptable.
I mean, you say it all the time. What would happen before we would set a date to meet at some place? I mean, you had to show.
Or else what?
I don't imagine that people would waste their time with you anymore.
And also like being in the woods with no service where it's like, oh, I'm going to go do this. And you can't just text and be like, hey, where you at? Like if you say, I'll be back in 15 minutes, you better be back in 15 minutes.
Or I'm going to think something.
Or I don't know what's going on, you know? And like, I think that there is a kind of beauty to that. Also, I'm not telling you, you don't have to tell me something that, this is the thing that I think I've learned as well. Like, just don't say something you don't mean.
Yeah.
You know, like if you.
Don't overpromise and underdeliver.
Exactly. Like if, like, I don't have a problem if you were like, you know what? Hate camping, don't want to go, don't want you to spend the money for me, hate groups, you know,
I'd rather do my own thing.
Right, whatever it is, I would rather from the beginning you just give it to me straight because then we're cool, you communicate, and I can manage my expectations, yeah. Right? But like for you to be...
But that's the thing, Em, is that I don't think that we could have made it any easier. And this is not to throw shade, but we really kind of spelled it out rather clearly, I think, that we needed a confirmation for specific reasons. And confirm means confirm, you know.
It's just a communication thing. And like Jem said, it's like, it's not a shade thing. It's a accountability thing, mm-hmm. You know.
Consideration thing.
And something that we also work hard in our friendships is like actively saying these things to these people and like drawing boundaries, you know. Because it's a difficult way to exist in any kind of setting when people are promising things and then acting like their word is nothing.
Yeah.
It hurts me. I also feel like I catch myself doing it in certain moments and I don't like that quality in myself. And that's why it bothers me so much.
Well, I think, you know, it's natural sometimes as humans for us to want to help or be of service or contribute a certain amount and maybe not properly estimate.
But why have we made it so easy to, you know, placate in the moment? That's what it is. I just clocked it. It's that we try to like make it better in the moment and think that, you know, it's going to resolve itself later. And it just gets worse and worse and ruins relationships.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably, again, like, you know, the good intention of wanting to do more than maybe you actually can, but also, you know, a little bit of a lack of self-awareness.
Yeah. Like, I think it's accountability more than anything.
For sure. After the fact, at least, for sure.
But yeah, so we definitely had some disappointment in the showing up department, but I will say the people who did show up, like, wow, you know, I see them.
Some
I
people hope made that, a really great effort to show us.
Yeah, and I hope that you see... I mean, I know that you see, but from my perspective, like how loved you are and how the people who turn out for you and the ways they turn out is special. And yeah. And by the way, I'm not saying that everybody has to be like that in your life.
No.
You know, I just think that when you have certain experiences, especially ones that are scary, right? You really see who loves you. Like I feel like in some of the darkest moments, that's when I've gotten closest to people.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? And
it shows you who your friends are.
Yeah, it shows you who your friends are and also just, you know, what you want for your life and also how to communicate with your friends, right? Like speaking for myself, I have that issue. Like I'll be upset about the way that someone's acting. You know, like there were a couple times on the trip I lost my shit and I was out of pocket.
Yes.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura Podcast Network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I shouldn't have been granted. I was upset for the right reasons.
Yeah.
I was frustrated completely, but my behavior was inappropriate. And, you know, like.
And that always sucks because you deserve to be heard and listened no matter what.
Yeah.
But you did have a really valid point, like an especially valid one. And unfortunately, the point was clouded.
Yeah. By my frustration and which is exactly
and tiredness.
That's what I'm about to say. You don't sleep, when you don't listen to your body, when you don't fill your cup, when you're not eating,
when you don't fill your cup,
you slip. Like, and that's what it was. Like, that was the biggest lesson, I think. Like, just fill your cup so that you can fill everybody else's. You know, I'm stressed now. I need to breathe. Why don't we take a little break? And we'll be right back. Welcome back, y'all. I'm feeling better.
I'm glad.
No, I don't want to feel that way. And that's the real tea. Like, everybody should just do what makes them happy and, like, live and let live. That's how I really feel. But just don't say things you don't mean. That's my only grudge.
Then be considerate.
Yeah, be considerate. That's it. But yeah, that's that on that. Just the reality of it. And I want to be a person that's more, I want to be the person that's growing and proud of myself and like reflecting on these things, you know, because I wouldn't want to be hurting anybody in that way. And I know that I have, and I guess it's a reflection when it happens to you, you know, like, what's the golden rule? Like, do unto others, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
But once we got to camp, the people that were there, that was also an interesting situation, because setting up camp and taking down camp, another undershoot, guys. Wow.
Guys, when you do what we did, which is camp, pick up and pack food for as many meals as we did, snacks included, drinks included, the utensils and materials and equipment and tables to prep and make all of this food and entertainment and games and the speaker to play the music
and
the
chargers clean it.
And the cleaning supplies.
And where are you going to put away the leftovers?
It's there's so much thought, like, you know, we're not gonna, into it.
Yeah, and you know we're not going to throw away food. That's another thing. Oh my gosh, we underestimated coolers. You don't think about how you maintain the food that you're going to take. Like, we were literally joking while we were prepping, like, why are these Yeti coolers $400, $500? This
Please
is crazy.
Sign me up.
Dude, and we had like 5-6 of those Walmart coolers or whatever. I think
what is it with you and Walmart? What do you have against Walmart?
Nothing. Just why did I have to go get ice 7 times? I mean,
like, because we had the Walmart coolers,
right? And then you, like, it's not like we're gonna let the food go bad. Are you crazy?
No, that's crazy.
Not only are we leftover queens, we're considerate, so we're not gonna, like, in no reality are we throwing out any food.
No, it's good,
like,
food.
Of course. By the way, we're gonna eat good for the next few weeks.
I literally have to return food. There's so much food.
Jem this morning was like, no. No eating out, no breathe. I'm like, yeah, girl, like we could feed the fucking neighborhood.
No, absolutely not.
But anyway, we definitely undershot how important a cooler is and how important dry ice is. Oh my goodness.
Dry ice can really save you because if you have a piece of dry ice, it'll keep the ice cold.
Lifesaver. Also, shout out to Sharon, the lady who grabbed the dry ice when I bought it. She literally grabbed it with her bare hands and I got chills all over my body. She's like,
is she okay?
I don't think so, but she's like, honey, I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm like, oh, girl, you need to be studied or the next Netflix documentary is going to be about Sharon and her dry eyes because I did not understand that.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, it was amazing. But anyway.
What was your favorite meal out of all of Camp Chem?
Well, the chili. Chem made some chili that literally.
Campfire chili.
Vegan. Oh my God, I just can't explain that chili. And then there was, of course, an array of things to eat with the chili. It was amazing. But I have to say, my favorite was when we put up our little projector and our little Amazon screen.
Oh boy.
That was actually really relatively cheap. Like, I think the entire setup was probably $60 max.
Wow, with the screen included?
How much was that Amazon screen?
Maybe like $20.
Yep, okay. And the projector was $29.99. So $50-something bucks, right?
That's super cheap.
Plus the dongle. Actually, LOL.
The dongle?
The dongle to connect, like, your phone.
What do you mean the dongle? What's a dongle?
So a dongle is a converter.
Is it actually called a dongle?
Yeah, it's called a dongle.
Oh, I thought that was one of your alien words.
No. Dongle's a real thing.
Oh, dongle's okay.
Mm-hmm. And so it's that thing that Apple makes you pay like $3,000 for that just adapts your phone like to a USB or HDMI or whatever.
Okay.
But I already had one of those. I didn't have to pay for it. But anyway, so a relatively cheap setup. So fun. So we're watching this movie. Literally, the projector's hung between the trees and literally you can hear the bugs and the fire's going. And it has a good speaker, that little projector,
too. It does.
And Jem has taken these cast iron.
They're called campfire cookers.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a mold for two pieces of sandwich bread. And the concept is that they shut on each other. You can fill them with whatever you want, and it creates this, like, campfire pie.
Oh, my gosh. It's literally two squares of cast iron, and you can shove whatever you want in there. But, of course, Jem shoved the perfect combination, which was Nutella, strawberry. There was one that was Nutella and strawberries and one that was Nutella and bananas.
It was so good.
Girl, she put those things over the open fire. That movie was going.
And Emma's closing her eyes and reliving the moment.
I'm going to cry again. But you see, like, there were really some really, really, truly special moments.
Glad, baby.
I want one right now. Like,
I'm sorry. I'm not about to make a freaking fire.
I know, man.
I still smell like smoke.
I know my hair. And I've washed it like three times.
It doesn't matter. It's like in your pores right now.
It's fine.
It's like your only source of light and heat and food at night.
It is crazy though that like you're always so, so, so allergic and you are allergic to like trees and outdoors. And the whole time we were there, you barely had any allergies.
So you know about American cities and their planting of male trees, right?
Mm-hmm. They're male trees?
Yeah. So actually most of the trees in major American cities are male trees, not female trees, which are the ones that produce more pollen, which is why we are extremely allergic.
So you're even gay with trees?
Yeah.
So literally but you're notice, even repulsed by male trees.
Notice that we went out into nature in the middle of nowhere and my sister and I could never breathe clearer than we did those couple of days.
Yeah.
I brought two Kleenex boxes because that's just protocol for me, especially for 4 days. I mean, that's stretching it even.
I know.
And I barely used them. One of them was closed.
I know.
Still the day that we left.
Wild.
Close really
Kleenex
wild.
Box, wild.
No.
Babe, please, can I have another campfire square right now?
You're insane.
Please.
They would never.
Look, there's grass right here.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure it's flammable.
No, but you know what?
It's from IKEA.
Amber killed me with this one, too.
Oh, my God, Amber.
So after my whole episode, which we definitely have to get into now, we've teased it quite too much.
That's the grand finale.
Oh, God, no. We have to leave on a light note. But we were sitting in the car trying to bring me back to life and Amber was talking about the bugs. And, you know, I was like, you know, surprisingly enough, in my backyard, I am like a fresh cut of meat to the mosquitoes. I'm like a freaking filet mignon over here. I'm a prime cut. They look at me like lunchtime.
Yeah.
But out in Genie Springs, I don't know if they had a prejudice against Latinos or something over there. I saw quite a few Confederate flags, but they did not come for me.
Mm.
And so I'm telling Amber this as she's complaining about her a million bug bites. Mm-hmm. And it's like 8 o'clock and you know that at night they come out.
Oh my God. Oh no.
And so I'm like in the middle of talking to her about how I'm not bitten or whatever. And she goes, shh, 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 shh. And I'm like, you know, looking at her like, what the fuck is she talking about? And all you hear is like the crickets roaring and everything. She goes, do you hear that? It's their war call. They're coming. I died of laughter.
They're war call.
It's true. They announce when they're coming.
Tiny bugs with like pitchforks.
I know.
Coming for you, Amber. No. Yeah, I know. They really did, though. She did something to bugs in another life.
Because yeah, they came for her.
They came for her hard. Oh, man. Well, they came for her hard. But the food was amazing. The couch was amazing. We had a living room. We mm-hmm. had speakers. We had a yurt. I actually really loved our camp. It was like in a circle. We had the fire in the middle. Yeah. We had giant dice that we thought were stolen, but they weren't.
Yeah, that was great. I'm glad we found them.
Jem made a dishwashing station.
We needed it.
Another thing, all the Latinos that were there camping brought a hose, which I find very interesting, and I'm disappointed we didn't do.
No, next time we go to Ginny Springs, we're revolutionizing our approach.
I know.
We're bringing about a 1/13th of the amount of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Hose, yeah. Uh-huh. An extension cord. We're parking closer to the bathroom.
I think I'm just bringing a hose and I'm good.
Why?
So many moments that I needed a hose. Really? So many moments.
Really? Really? Like of all the things that you could bring?
I mean, really, if we're thinking about it.
All right, you know what? Let's just do it. If you could bring one thing to Ginny Springs, what would it be?
Like after this trip?
Like after this trip.
Mm.
Is it a hose?
I think it would be a doctor.
Oh my God. A satellite cell phone.
My God, yeah, literally no service, guys. Like, no service.
If I were to...
Like, I actually tried to dial 911, and I couldn't get through to 911.
You did?
Yes, 4 times.
You didn't know that?
Oh, yeah. I called 911 4 times. You didn't know that?
I called 911.
So did I. And I couldn't get through.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah. I can show you.
So let's just get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
So... I would say that probably the beginning of my demise started at the first all-nighter that I pulled the week leading into Camp Jem.
Nah, started a month before that.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I think it started 3 weeks into planning Camp Jem and also us needing to work. And also, you don't realize we traveled to New York like 3 times. Like, we've been pushing it, Jem. We really have.
It's true. And we got back from New York and immediately we went to help Chris and... We've just been doing a bunch of stuff and not really prioritizing rest.
Yeah.
The way that we need to.
Yeah.
And I am a machine. And it's not, I've actually written about this. It's not something that I resent being able to do. In fact, it's a pretty cool superpower or ability to have in my back pocket in the moments where I absolutely need it to have enough willpower. Enough mental strength to kind of override my bodily functions to get shit done. Mm. But it is highly toxic.
Very.
And when
unhealthy.
And when you abuse it, it no longer becomes a superpower.
No. Becomes
an illness.
Yeah, and scary because then it takes you out for much longer and it doesn't allow you to, you know, get anything done at that point or get anything done and enjoy it. I will preface this by saying that Ginny, like the campgrounds are pretty big, you know?
200 acres actually.
And I have to be completely real about this too. Like climate change and like what's going on, you know, like a couple space news ago, one of our pieces of news was that, the last 5 Julys have been the hottest ever.
Yeah.
And like, that's not news. That's scary. You know, and the sun is hot. And like, if you've spent some time in Florida and like been outside in the last couple of years, like I can tell you, like I've grown up, born and raised, you know, in this state, and I've had some scary moments in the heat recently. Like, we're not going to talk about it now, but I almost, not almost died, nowhere near that, but I did almost pass out. It's scary. Like, I've played sports my whole life and been outside in this heat my whole life. And I've never, you know, like, I got close to passing out this year, and that's never happened to me in my life. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
I just remembered actually that the week before Camp Gem, remember we had to pull over on our bike ride because I started overheating.
I know.
All right, I have an idea. Since you mentioned that you observe me, and I feel like I'm still processing what happened, I'd love to hear what you think happened to me from your perspective.
Well, I do observe you a lot, and I feel like I have a big insight into why that happened, because as you mentioned, you push yourself, and I feel like your mind goes ahead of your body, and it can kind of, like, you know, create the illusion for your body that you can keep going and you're this workhorse and you're okay. And we finally, the second day that we woke up, which was the first day that we were there, actually able to enjoy the day and not in transit. Obviously, the plan was to get to the water. The way that it works over there is that it's beautiful, actually. There's this amazing river. And, I mean, the river is kind of gross, actually. But it's beautiful.
Why do you think it's gross?
The water is gross.
Just because you can't see anything.
No, not because you can't see. Because when you're sitting in your tube, the little bit of water that's up in the tube is freaking
yellowish.
Yellow.
It's disgusting.
But you know me. I was jumping in that water more than anybody. I'm not afraid. Yeah. I just, you know, it's not the most beautiful water, but it is a gorgeous ambiance. You know, the current is really fast. So there's these little stairs that you walk down into the river, and you have to get on these floats and tie together, because if you're in a group, if you're not tied together, you're losing
Forget
that person.
It. Oh, absolutely. You're losing all the persons.
And then as you float down the river, there are these openings to, hello, the springs, which I didn't know, but Jem educated me on the fact that literally it's these holes that, you know, just come from the center of the earth. Oh my God, the water's freezing. It's delicious. It's gorgeous. It's crystal clear, but you have to somehow get off the current of the river into the spring.
That's pushing out into the river.
Right. So it's a whole drama, but it's very exciting. So we were making our way to the water from our camp, which was at the end of this river run, which, albeit the second day when we actually thought about it with some brain cells, worked out because we could just take one of our vehicles to the entrance, go to the end where our camp was, and then go pick up the other vehicle.
Well, I think that it wouldn't have worked, honestly.
But it worked the second day.
Well, the second day, there were less people.
Oh.
And we still had to put some people inside of the pickup, which is why we didn't do it the first day.
Yeah, everything happens for a reason.
I mean, I guess some people could have, like, held on to the truck on the outside. Like, we could have done it, like, very, like...
Even if I made two trips, it would have been better than...
No, anything would have been better than that.
But anyway... Anyway, lessons for next time. So when we try to make our way to the spring, back to what I think happened to you, we had to walk so far in the heat with everything we planned on taking in the water.
And we also made a giant loop.
The loop killed us. Hashtag the loop.
Because, you see, the beginning of anything is the most important part of it.
Mm-hmm.
How morale is at the start of something will determine the longevity, the process, and overall experience of anything that you do. And I feel like people started to lose a little bit of momentum by like minute 15, seeing that we still hadn't arrived. And they probably painted a mental picture that we would be in the spring a lot sooner. On top of that, we're carrying pounds of these massive floating and tubing devices and coolers and speakers and our bags and dry bags with the keys and all of this stuff.
Yeah. So
sweating even more.
And we're in a giant group, and if one person breaks off, hashtag foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Then you're in a pickle, because you can't just pick up the phone and be like, hey, where you at? We're waiting for you here.
Yeah. So we didn't realize it, but when we thought we had passed one of the springs on the tube trail to get to the next spring, what we actually did was just return on a fork in the road. And by that point that we realized, oh shit, these last 20 minutes that we've been out here sweating and dying and dealing with all of this, we advanced nothing.
Yep.
So by that point, I saw my people. I know my people. They're my people. They were not down anymore. They were dying for the spring.
Yeah, and you...
Pooja,
what is this behavior? So you, like you always do, and like you mentioned, the beginning of anything is the most important. So you're like, all right, I got this. I'm going to be the morale. I'm going to get us going. Don't worry. We just made a loop, but it's fine. So we kept walking and we thought we might be nearing some kind of destination, but there are a bunch of springs. So we stopped at one and we're like, do we get off at the spring?
We stopped at Judy, actually.
Right.
We had been advancing.
Right. And then we decided we wanted to forge forward because we wanted to go to the very beginning of the tube trail.
Yeah, I am a benevolent dictator that sometimes allows for other decisions and always often. allows for influence of the people because I am just the representative.
Yeah.
With a little bit more veto power. And so I was like, hey, you guys want to stop here? I knew they were dying to swim. It's like, this isn't our destination, but we could just swim right now. They were like, no, let's just get there.
Yeah, we're like, let's just get there. So then shortly after, I don't know who it was that pointed it out, that was like, oh no, where's Chris? And if go back a couple episodes so you can learn about who Chris is, somebody that's very important to Jem, very important to me and the pod, actually, and everything. And also, as you'll learn, has a very, very serious heart condition.
Yeah.
And is on his second heart transplant.
Yep.
So when we realized that Chris is lost,
we became very worried.
Not a very good feeling. And also Jem and I were more worried than everybody else because some people, you know, don't
really
know
understand
how serious, you know, his condition
is. And the thing is, Chris was walking ahead of us at the beginning of everything before the loop fiasco. Haha. And that was really good.
Kick, push.
No. Sorry, I realized that again a second time. I'm like, wow, that was good me.
Exquisite.
Good for me. Mm-hmm. That was a good job. I really got to revel in it. Okay, I'm done.
Thank God.
Anyway, so we realized, oh crap, Chris was with us. He had been walking ahead of us because he walks at a different pace than everyone. He didn't want, you know, people to be waiting on him or be worried. He's a considerate folk. And
So we were pissing ourselves and shitting ourselves. And then we decided, Jem, I look at Jem again, I'm observing her, which is the entire point of this saga. And I'm like, uh-oh, she's worried, but she's like trying to keep it cool. She's like, it's okay. We're going to get Chris and then other Chris, because that's another thing. We have multiple Chrises around us.
Yes, but I think we've found our final Chris.
Yeah,
no more Chrises. In fact, I told Chris. Yeah. I was like, if we meet another Chris, and I'm so sorry, Chris is out there.
Sorry.
We are full.
Yeah, we're full of Chrises.
Not one more Chris.
Yeah.
We have beardless Chris, bearded Chris, construction Chris.
Construction Chris.
Construction. How many construction Chris's do you know about?
Cousin Chris.
Yes, construction Chris. I feel like there's another one around that we're not remembering.
I'm sure.
If there is, I'm sorry. Just a lot of Chris's.
Yes, we are full of Chris High. Anyway, so we were shitting ourselves and then we took a collective pause in the beaming sun. So at that point when we realized Chris is missing.
Yeah.
Construction Chris, who's an all-star.
Yeah, total all-star.
Literally.
I think he was like MVP.
Of Camp
Jam.
Of course. I
most
think
valuable player, like most loved.
Oh, yeah. Anybody would say that.
Yeah.
Even over me. Even over you, honestly. No offense.
By far. I mean, I practically ruined the trip.
But anyway, so Construction Chris is like, all right, I'm going to find Chris. I'm going back to get Chris. Remember, guys, in retrospect, at this point, not only is one person splitting off from the group bad, now you have a second person splitting off and they're going to look for the first person. So best case scenario, if they find each other, which is like, whoa, at that point, I got to tell you, I didn't have a good feeling about that. So as I said, as you can imagine, one person splitting off is bad. Now two people are split off and we're there. Not to mention that at this point, Jem is trying to, as I mentioned, keep morale high and be the excite her and keep everybody relaxed because we were scared. But meanwhile, she's the first one waking up at camp, making everybody food, fucking making sure everything is good. Like, she was running on E, and she was making sure she was fueling everybody else. And so we are pausing there for a moment, and became 2 moments, 3 moments. We're probably there 15 minutes. That's another thing. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a concept of time or anything like that, which is great, but also, you know, unique to our main experiences. And all of a sudden we hear, "Keep walking." And it was Chris.
From the distance.
From the distance. And I'm like, oh, Chris. My God. My heart just like relaxed for a second. And I was like, thank goodness that, you know. And for a moment I was like, oh, my God. But now we lost construction, Chris. But thank goodness they were together.
They found each other.
So then in that moment, Jem, I saw her. And she's like, okay, finally, we got everybody. We're almost at the spring. We got it. We walked almost a little bit more. And then we arrived. And when we arrived, that we were finally at the mouth of the entrance, that we're ready to go, that we're all tying up or getting organized, literally, I mean, from my experience, you stepped in the water, and when you finally got in the float, we're all tied up, we're ready to go, I look over at you and I'm like, uh-oh. Because I think in that moment, when your brain finally relaxed and you were like, oh, I made it to the destination. Everybody's here. Everybody's okay. Your body went, oh, no, 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 honey. Like, listen to me. You overworked me. Now you're going to relax your brain. Listen to what I've got to say to you. Because in that moment, Jem, your body completely shut down. I feel like your ears started ringing. That's the moment your temperature started regulating. You turned completely white. You were wet from the spring, but you were hot from the outside. You hadn't eaten. You hadn't slept. You hadn't drank water. It all hit you all at once. And everybody is like, woohoo, we're in the spring. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, oh my God. And of course, in that moment,
a couple people noticed. A couple people were like, Jem.
Yeah, but
it started outside. It started exactly when we got to the spring.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. I don't feel good.
Yeah.
I didn't feel good at all. And I felt like, oh shit, I'm overheating.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought, wow, I need to get in the spring mm-hmm. and like cool off. But the thing is that the spring is like 70 degrees, which sounds like it's not that cold for those of you listening if you haven't been in 70 degree water, because you're probably like I was, which is my house is around 70 degrees. You know, I keep the AC at 70 degrees. I can totally withstand that. No, no, no. No, you can't. 70 degree air is not the same as 70 degree water. 70 degree water is like a cold plunge.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is happened in that moment. I do think, after talking to my sister who's a nurse and, you know, people who know stuff, I guess, who seem to be well-versed in the lingo, it does seem like out of a couple of things that happened to me that made up this perfect storm, one of the things that I suffered was a heat stroke.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt when I finally got in the spring, like I completely shocked my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I was freezing and I tried to sit in my floaty. And I know that my ears started ringing because I don't know if you remember, I covered them.
No, literally, she was sitting, like looking down, covering her ears, just like trying to.
I was meditating. I was trying to focus on my breathing.
Yeah,
I was
but you were trying to, like, not to pass out.
Literally trying not to pass out. And I could feel like my head tingling. Mm-hmm. I could feel like just everything.
Like what happened to me in New York. Yeah.
Just bad. And I think that what started happening is that my body, if I could explain it anyway, it felt like I was boiling from the inside out and freezing from the outside in. And I don't think that my body knew what to regulate first, whether it was my shivering body and my freezing cold bathing suit.
Or you hadn't eaten enough and you hadn't drank enough water and you hadn't slept.
So that was another thing. I'm almost certain, because I felt it before, that my blood sugar dropped.
Oh, absolutely.
And at some point, I was aware of what was going on around me, and I was overcome on top of everything by just like an anxious feeling of feeling like I was fucking ruining the trip. And I was worried about you guys. I was worried about my people, my family, my friends, who had some people cross multiple state lines to be there for me that week on weekend. And I was there fucking, my sister made a funny joke. You already named it. No, it was actually Josh. Josh made a funny joke. You already named it Camp Gem. You needed it to be more about you. You know, here I am getting super, super sick and just like, what a damper on everybody's time.
Yeah. But then, you know, that also began my nightmare because from that moment on, you made it very clear, like, look, I want them to have fun, but I'm not okay. So at that point, we had to break off.
Well, I tried to feel better and I started to feel nauseous. And I remember you had said to one of our friends, like signaled to her to kind of like, without letting everybody know, but like you started to get worried. I remember you saying, no, I'm starting to get worried. And that started to get me more, almost like more anxious because I already wasn't feeling bad. And I was hearing you say vocally and other people hearing you, you know, like that you weren't, which you had every reason to be. And then when I remember I got up out of the water and I started walking directly to the bathroom, which I didn't know where it was. And I remember how bright the sun was shining because I felt even sensitive to the light around me. And I darted immediately for the direction that I hoped the bathroom was in, which I ended up being right. And I knew you were following behind me. And I didn't even make it inside the bathroom. I just went to the back and started puking. Immediately.
She decided to puke next to the septic tank.
Well, I didn't know it was a septic tank. To be fair, I have really bad allergies. I can't smell very much. I didn't know what that was. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But at that point, I knew what was going down. I immediately was like, all right, we're switching into another zone here. And I was like, I knew we needed to get to camp, but also like, what's at camp? You know, it's not like it's your house. It's not like I have AC. At that moment already, I was like, what the hell are we going to do?
Well, the part that I don't think I ever told you was I thought we had the keys.
Yeah, that was another thing.
Remember we came, we went to the bathroom. We were sitting in one of the bathrooms, all our bathhouses as well. And I remember as I was pushing open, because you know my brain is photographic. My memory is photographic. And I remember pushing open the door and reading a sign in paper that was like, no hot water.
Yeah.
Because I guess that bathhouse didn't have hot water. Yep. And we were sitting in one of the stall showers and I was starting to feel that I was not feeling good. And the thing is, I've had these weird little spells before. You've been there for some of them. It's happened to me when I've been at concerts or like a music festival where it's hot or like there's a lot of people.
There's always heat involved.
Yeah. So I started to realize that this was not one of those moments, that this was worse. This was like way worse. And that I wasn't going to be able to make it back the spring. Because usually when it's happened to me before, I tend to recuperate rather quickly. I'll take like 10, 15 minutes maybe, but then I'm kind of back to normal. You know, I get sensation in my appendages again and the ringing stops, whatever. And that's when I told you to go get my stuff. And remember the stuff that I told you to grab. It was the dry box that was attached to the dry bag. And I thought, because I had seen James at camp with both of the keys, I thought that he had put the keys to the van and the truck and our bag, and the rest of them were in the other dry bag.
Well, plot twist, all the keys were in another dry bag. And that's a big deal because our car is really the only lifeline.
That's what I was envisioning. We would get to camp, and if I couldn't get better, we would put me in a car and either go to the main building of the Springs or, you know, a hospital, whatever.
Yeah. No, yeah. But that didn't happen, and we didn't realize until it was too late, and we had already sent everybody else down the river, like, it's fine, everything's great, we're going to go back to camp and chill. Meanwhile, I'm freaking out.
It took all of my battery to do that.
Yeah, I know it was hard for you because, like I said, the entire moment that you envisioned on the trip was going down the river with everybody.
No, well, and I don't say it because of that. I say it because I was literally that ill.
Oh, yeah, to even walk over there. Yeah.
I think I pulled from every cell in my body whatever little bit of energy I had left. And I knew that if I sent you over there and I knew you were worried and you're not that great of a liar and you were meant to tell them to go down the river without me, they might not believe you. They might be worried. They might not enjoy themselves. And I just kept worrying about that. I kept worrying that they weren't enjoying themselves. So I was like, all right, well, get out there, make it quick. Don't throw up or they'll know you're lying. And I remember I was like, let me walk as straight as possible to them and just smile and seem as convincing as possible.
Yeah. And you were, and they were worried, but ultimately they ended up going, which is when we realized that we didn't have the keys.
Yeah.
And then began, we're at the end of the damn park. How do we get back to the camp at the start when we don't have keys? We don't have a car. We literally were
there's
like,
there's no way I could walk.
We need a ride
minutes.
Back now. So at this point began my dilemma, which was, I can't leave you alone at any moment.
No. And we were in the beating sun throughout.
In the beating sun throughout. I can't leave her alone. We can't really find any shelter. And I need to go find somebody to help. Also figure out, go back to where she was. And, you know, there are other campers there, tons of other people. But obviously going up to strangers and asking for help, which I did. Yeah, no, and which I did multiple times. Yeah. And I'm sure I looked crazy and stressed because I was. And then ultimately, I'm in the middle of talking to somebody, but they didn't have room in their car. And I hear Jem yelling, and I'm like, when you were yelling, I thought like, oh my God, if she's yelling this loud, feeling like this, it's done. I sprinted. By the way, my feet,
it was like
my feet are fucked up.
I know. I feel so
because that's
bad.
Another don't feel bad. It's just that I had my fucking five like below shower shoes, and that's literally what I ran through the woods through the entire time. But anyway, so I hear her screaming, and I run back to her, and I see a security cart behind her.
It was like seeing a water bottle in the middle
literally,
of the desert.
No, you don't understand. I was like, oh my God, yes. I'm like, hello, please. And then you're like, don't scare them too much, but like, we need help. So I'm like, okay, guys, hi, this is my partner. You know, she's having a medical situation. We just really need to get back to camp. And they were like a little bit cold at first.
Mm-hmm. They were a little skeptical, I think.
At first they were skeptical and cold. And then at the end, ultimately, they like probably felt bad and they were really nice. But we finally get to them. I think, here we go. The Krusty Krab pizza is the pizza. And they go, well, we'll take her, but we're not taking you.
I know.
And I was like, the freaking security people of the place. Not only have I already asked three people that said no, the security person with a medical bag in the back seat with plenty of room in the car won't take both of us. And I'm like, Jem says, where do you expect me, what do you expect me to do when you drop me where I'm going? She's the only person I have. Like, I'm not okay. And she's like, I can't take her in the back. Jem, I know that everything is a blur for you because you were really fucking sick.
No, I convinced them to let you come.
You convinced, not only convinced them, but that whole ordeal took another 10 minutes just to convince them.
It wasn't 10 minutes.
It was
like five, but okay.
It was enough time that I was like, I can't believe seeing you, the color that you are, the way that you're feeling, the way that you were talking, that
okay,
they were letting
you know,
me on the
one
car.
Thing that I realized really early on in this experience was Ginny Springs is about 45 minutes from Gainesville, which is home to one of the biggest universities in the state, University of Florida. And I know from being there, sufficient amount of Memorial Day weekends, that place is often littered with college kids.
Right.
And I'm sure they have seen tons of alcohol poisoning, drug overdoses, maybe people even overreacting. And
right.
I know a girl my age, probably people make snap judgments.
Right.
They were probably making snap judgments about what was really going on with me in that moment.
When you hadn't had one drop of alcohol.
I know.
And you did prepare a very nice drink for yourself that you never drank.
A whole Owala bottle.
Oh,
I had a
God.
Whole temperature-controlled
Lord. Anyway,
whiskey and Coke waiting for me.
So then began, let's get us back to camp when M is GPS dependent.
Oh,
I don't know where the hell camp is.
I
Jem
hope that
can't
was a
talk.
Lesson for you, by
oh,
the way,
Oh, my
Stefan.
Well, I mean, we were in the damn woods,
No,
Jermaine.
But I mean, M literally could not find camp.
I mean, ultimately, I did.
And
in the last day, I had a better sense of direction than anybody.
Yes, but I was holding on to the back of that golf cart with, like, for dear life and almost falling off of it. And Em was like, oh, I don't know where you are, babe. Where are we? And I'm like, I can't even speak. I can barely open my eyes.
No, it was really bad.
It was bad, but we found it.
We found it. We get to camp. It's hot. Jem is feeling terrible. At that point, we literally think we have the keys. We get to camp. We think that this is our saving grace. The security people have taken us there. We're going to get to the car. We're going to figure it out. And we're like, oh, we don't have the keys.
We don't have the keys. And these people are in the middle of a river on a raft going down.
Yep. With no service,
by the
way.
With no service or ways for us to get to them.
Only one person had a phone or two people had a phone.
And it was over 95 degrees outside. hot, hot, hot as heck.
Ridiculous.
The tents were basically plastic ovens.
Oh, yeah, which I had to go into everybody's tent, grab everybody's fans, and try to cool you down as much as possible, because the moment that we got there and we realized we didn't have the key, it was the loop part two. It was, here we go, here's the next part of the issue, because you started to tell me, I am not well, I need a hospital.
Yeah.
Then you started to get really scared. And I think also the fact that we had nowhere, like no escape, nowhere to go, nobody to communicate with.
No, because I mean, when I got into my car accident and I was alone at like 5 a.m. and I was on the outside of my smoking totaled vehicle in the middle of the street, waving down cars that passed me by without stopping. The first person I called wasn't an ambulance. The first person I called was my mom.
Yeah.
When the police inevitably showed up and told me that I had to go, I tried to fight them.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody that, like, I don't say, let's go to a hospital unless I need to go to a hospital.
Yeah.
And I did. I at least felt that I did.
Yeah. And then I was really panicking, and then we were trying to figure out a situation in the tent, but it was too hot and it was like overwhelming. We couldn't figure out anything that was making anything better. It was just worse and worse.
There was no way that we didn't even have the right fans.
It was hot and just bad and bad. And we were wet. And then it was just, ugh.
And at that point I was now cold from zooming through the air with a golf cart in my freezing cold bathing suit and also overheating. And I was having some, I don't know, you know, I know that vomiting is one of the symptoms of heat stroke, but I was bad. Like, I felt the vomit, the nausea, all of it. And I knew I needed to go to the bathroom. And yeah. I was hoping that in there something would get better.
But it didn't. And instead, that's when you really started to scare me, because you're like, I feel like I'm going to die. I can't control my body right now. I don't know what to do. At that point, you were stripped down because your cold, your clothes was making you hot, was making you cold, was... It was a whole thing. So you're like, I need you to go find help now, like right now. And at that moment, I was like, all right, this is it. Like, I need to figure out who's going to take us either to the front or if I can get a hold of the ambulance. That's when I started to call 911.
By the way, I was doing the same exact thing inside of the stall.
It was crazy.
Which was wild. I showed my sister and everything. I called the ambulance, but I thought you weren't going to get one in time, or I didn't know. And I literally thought, I felt my body going into overdrive. I felt my body struggling with itself. I literally felt like the slow depletion. And what I thought, you know what I was really scared was going to happen, was I was going to have a heart attack and I was going to die. And you weren't there in that moment. And I literally tried to call the ambulance on myself and they wouldn't go through.
I know, which is like, what is the SOS feature on the phone if it doesn't go to the...
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future.
It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And then began the real disappointment, which was me going around to four campsites begging that I was having an emergency and nobody helping me.
I know.
Before, one guy,
What did they tell you when you went up to, what did you say when
they didn't feel comfortable? I was like, I need somebody with a car right now, please, to take us to the front of the camp. Like, it's an emergency. And they were like, no, I'm sorry, I don't feel comfortable. And the second one was like, I can't leave camp right now. Like, things that didn't make sense. And again, probably made a snap judgment about what the situation was. And I look young, so they're probably like, here's this girl, she's probably, her friend is drunk, or they're freaking out, or they're on drugs, or whatever the hell. And they just wouldn't help. And then the one person who would help was literally this dude who was in a pirate hat.
I heard and about pirate hat dude.
Well, you saw him.
Well,
barely, but he had literally a creepy white van with a soggy, half-deflated mattress in the back of it with all his shit in it.
And a corgi pillow.
And a corgi pillow. And I'm like,
he was my angel.
No, man. So I run over to his camp. That's why my feet are fucked up. And I'm like, dude, please, like, can you meet me by the bathroom? My girlfriend's there. Like, we really need help. And he's like, yeah, I got you. So I run back to Jem, who at this point, when I entered the bathroom again, there was a gaggle of people around you.
And I was naked.
And you were naked. And I'm
like,
what?
Which is so not something that you would think would happen to me.
And like, not only women in the stall, like men, women, I don't know
men what. Men rationalizing with me, why I shouldn't call the ambulance.
No, literally with like a joint hanging out of their mouth. Like, no, you're fine, dude. Like, just go take a nap. And I'm like, oh my God. So I put the door. I'm like, all right. Like, get the fuck out. Like, let's go. Because the pirate, Jack Sparrow, was there to pick us up in the creepy white van. And the one Megan, who, you know, was, got you a Gatorade. And
little saint woman.
Yeah, she was wonderful. Shout out. And, dude, we got you in the creepy white van.
They could have taken us, Emily. They could have abducted us right then and there.
Well,
we literally volunteered ourselves.
She literally said,
their van.
Well, to be fair, they were like in a 25-person camp right behind us. So I hope that they wouldn't have done that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. But at that point, what option do I have? It's an emergency.
Yeah,
like,
we really did.
What option do I have? You know what I mean? And the Megan was like, do you know these guys? And I'm like, no. And they're like, no, we're cool, man. Our girlfriends are right there. Like, we're good. Like, I'm like, I have no other option. There's nothing I can do. Like, let's get in the back of this creepy van.
We're just gonna pray.
Yeah. Anyway, so after that, we decided that the AC in the van was maybe helping.
Well, because I felt it, even if I didn't know exactly what was happening, I felt that I was overheating. And I knew that I needed to be in some kind of temperature controlled environment.
Yeah.
Because there were even moments in the stall, and I don't think I ever mentioned this to you, where I was having difficulty breathing.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I was like, well, if I can stay in the AC and regulate my temperature that way, then I might start feeling better. And I started feeling like I was hallucinating. Like, it was
bad.
It was a lot of stuff.
I was like, you know what? Like, just, if you don't mind, just park here at your camp. Just leave the AC on. We'll throw you some money for gas. Like, she could just rest for a second. Because at that point, we had finally gotten through to your sister. And she's like, all right, we're going to get off at the next exit. That's like the only information we had from her. But we didn't know where the exit was, how far she was from camp. So at this point, we're just playing fast and loose from when everybody's getting back to camp.
By the way, did I ever tell you that at some point in the beginning of the saga, when I was still trying to rationalize and still prioritizing, like, you know, that I was worried about other people having a good time. I texted my sister, "Hey, it's me. Help. I think I need you to discreetly drive me to the hospital."
Oh my goodness, Lord. Lord.
So Amber was on her way to us.
Amber was, but I didn't know how far I went. And I kept running back to, you know, like looking over. And meanwhile, I'm in my bathing suit and wrapped in a towel and my feet are bleeding. And you are dying. And so finally, though, when the pirate closed the car and the AC and I'm looking at you and you fell asleep.
I didn't fall asleep.
Well, yeah. Whatever was happening, it looked like at least for a second, you know, everything was okay.
Yeah.
For a second. And not but like 3 minutes later, they knock on the back of the van. "Hey, so we're going to go swimming. Can we drop you guys back at camp?" Or, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck.
"Can we take you to the front?" I remember you said, "Oh, man, you know, I'm sorry, guys. Like, is there just any way we could stay back
here?" Oh, my God, in my head. Because, of course, like,
you can trust us, you know. "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, we know it's really not your problem." The guy's like, yeah, no, it isn't.
He's like, yeah, no. Like, which I get it. Jem's like, dude, they have a life. Like, it's not their problem, which I get.
And again, snap judgments about me.
I feel like if somebody really needed medical attention, I wouldn't prioritize swimming, but I understand.
Yeah, I also think that maybe it wasn't very believable. You know, we were saying that I really wasn't doing well, and I'm sure that they just thought that we were exaggerating or being dramatic. I don't know, but I understood. But I think that almost killed me again when we had to get out of the van and go back into the heat. And I remember I tried to make the tent work at that point because I knew that I needed to lay down. At that point, I had no more energy in me to stand up.
It was abysmal. And when they dropped us back at camp, I was like, oh my God. Like I was also just like, I don't know what to do. And luckily, shortly after, they showed up with the keys and we were able to get in the truck for you to rest for a little bit. But that, I still think right now, sitting in that chair, you are affected by what happened to you that day. And I think that, like you mentioned, you should have been in a hospital. And I think that
I know it. I would have if I would have been in the city, I would have been in a hospital overnight, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't okay for days. I'm still not okay.
Yeah.
I'm literally energy depleted. I took my body to zero.
Yeah.
And I genuinely spent a moment thinking I was not gonna make it out of there.
Yeah, me too. And that was not fun.
I know.
I'm so sorry that you went through that.
I'm sorry. I remember feeling terrible for what you went through. I saw it on your face. I remember when I finally got into the van, like an hour after being there, I kept telling people, like, you need to take care of Em, because I could see. First of all, I could see it while everything was happening, the trauma on your face, but I could see it after. I knew that you felt fear.
Oh my God. For me. And like adrenaline and fear and just, oh my God, it was just a terrible experience.
That was so bad.
But we learned a lot, and I also think that it's time to freaking listen to your body and rest and kind of like prioritize the
things.
I mean,
the whole day was ruined. I didn't recover for another 6 hours, and I barely recovered. I went from the van to a chair that I sat in the whole night without moving, pretty much.
Yeah.
And there was even a point there where I had a full-on crying fit.
Yeah.
I was in 3 blankets up to my neck because I was, again, freezing outside. But then I had my head exposed to like blasting AC because I felt like my head was on fire. And I couldn't regulate my temperature for hours. And my sister gave me liquid IV, or you gave me liquid IV. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I tried. I was like, well, if I go to a hospital, probably all they're going to do is give me an IV. Yeah. I might as well try to do it myself. Yeah, I just learned so much about not just even how I spent that day or the day before or even the week before, just like how I devote my time in general and how many times I take my body for granted.
Yeah.
How many moments I push myself and I know I'm pushing myself and I'm taking advantage of myself. And what I'm able to or not able to do. And the thing is that I know how these life lessons work. They only grow incrementally. every time you refuse to listen to them as far as impactfulness.
Amen.
You know, we say it all the time. The universe doesn't stop teaching you a lesson just because you don't learn it the first time. And I don't want to know what the next time would look like. I don't want to get there.
Me neither, please.
And I don't want to learn this lesson the hard way.
I don't want you to either. And I don't want to be there for moments where you keep depleting yourself and not resting and giving, you know, trying to create the best experience for everybody else and not taking care of yourself. That's how you're going to get in trouble. And, you know, like, it's a lesson to everybody. The world is moving so fast right now. And if you're the kind of person that, you know, stretches yourself thin, which I know a lot of people that do that.
Yeah, I mean, it is the age-old story of the woman. How many of us had mothers, I mean, you know, that would spend family vacations, something or other, cooking and cleaning and not even being able to really enjoy the activities?
Yeah. And, you know, having medical issues or mental health issues. And I'm just glad that you're okay. And I hope that we both
Me too.
Take this really seriously moving forward and reflect on it. And also think twice before we go camping with 20 people.
I would definitely say that I would never do this again.
Me neither.
Ever.
Me neither.
And I would never, I'd probably never plan a trip like this for my friends ever again. As much as I love them.
Me neither.
Never again.
Yeah, me neither. That's okay.
But I do. Exactly. I was just about to say, but I do want to go back to Ginny Springs. I'd love to go camping, maybe just us or like two other people.
Yeah.
But not more.
Small group.
Small group, low expectations, and we already have all the gear.
Exactly.
So
it's just a test run.
Yes.
And a lesson.
A huge lesson. Take care of yourself. Pause before your body forces you to pause, because it's not going to be pretty.
It's not going to be pretty, and you're going to pay in other ways.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm here.
Me more.
And I'm very grateful to you because you pretty much saved my life.
No, I didn't, but I'm glad that I was there. And I also learned a lot too. How much I love you. I mean, you know how much I love you. That's not a secret. But in those moments, in sickness and in health, right?
Yeah.
That's when you really, things get illuminated even brighter. It was scary. But I'm so glad you're here. And Camp Jim?
No. Camp Jim is dead.
No, it's not. It's never. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be a thing. Watch.
Lord.
Yeah.
Remember that one time Jim almost died? Oh, threw God. Up everywhere?
Hey, but do you remember those campfire sandwiches?
Though? You certainly
that
do.
Chili? Hey, hey, hey. Please take a lesson from us. A, don't go camping with 20 people. B, pause. Fill your cup. Take care of yourselves. Honestly, yeah. Health is wealth. Nothing, and I mean nothing, is worth your life in retrospect. Because the day of tomorrow, if we're not here, then there's nothing to enjoy. So you need to pause. You need to rest and listen to your body. And I'm really glad you're here, babe. And I love you. Learning experience, right?
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, thank you for joining us on the Camp Jim saga.
Camp Jim?
This has been another flight of In Our Own World.
Thanks for flying with us. I'm going to sleep.
Good night.
Good night. Love ya.
This podcast is brought to you by Moonflower Productions in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.